A series of jihad revivalist movements in the late 18th and 19th centuries led in time to the establishment of several Islamic states, the Wahhabi in Saudi Arabia and in Africa, the Fulani in what is modern-day Nigeria, the Senussi in Libya, and the Mahdi in the Sudan. The Wahhabi movement in Arabia and the Mahdi in Africa are perhaps the best known of pre-modern Islamic movements. Each has been a formative influence on modern Muslim states, and although similar in some respects, each represents contrasting styles of leadership and reform. A religious leader, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who lived from 1703 to 1792, and a local tribal chief or prince, Muhammad ibn Saud, who died in 1765, joined forces to create a united religio-political movement that would subdue large areas of Arabia and leave a religious and political legacy that continues today in modern-day Saudi Arabia. Although popularly called the Wahhabi movement after Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, one of its founders, its own self-designation was the Unitarians, the Muwahideen, those who practice and uphold monotheism, who worship the one true God. Abdul Wahhab, a jurist and theologian, was dismayed by the condition of his society, which he saw as having degenerated to a condition little better than pre-Islamic Arabia, the Jahiliyyah period of ignorance of Islam. He was appalled by popular religious practices, such as the veneration of Sufi saints in their tombs, which he believed compromised the unity or oneness of God and that of the Islamic community in Arabia. Abdul Wahhab condemned these and other Sufi practices as pagan superstitions, idolatry, using the term bid'ah, which means deviation from true Islam. It's almost the equivalent of heresy in Christianity. Abdul Wahhab called for a rigorous purification of Islam, a return to fundamentals. The Wahhabi movement waged a rigorous holy war to subdue and once again unite the tribes of Arabia. The warrior missionaries were called the Brotherhood, the Ikhwan. Muslims who disagreed with them were declared enemies of God who must be fought. In contrast to the Mahdists and other revivalist movements, the Wahhabi chose to completely suppress rather than merely reform Sufism. They destroyed not only Sufi shrines, but also other sacred tombs and shrines, including the tombs of the Prophet and his companions and the tomb of Hussein, a major Shi'i holy shrine and place of pilgrimage. This act has affected Wahhabi Shi'i relations to this day. It influenced Ayatollah Khomeini's call for the overthrow of the House of Saud, the rulers of Saudi Arabia, and conflict between the Sunni majority and Shi'i minority within Saudi Arabia. Some have claimed that Wahhabi influenced the Taliban's destruction of Buddhist monuments in Afghanistan. In contrast to the Wahhabi movement, the Mahdi of the Sudan, like other African revivalists, was a charismatic Sufi leader who initiated a reformist religio-political movement. Muhammad Ahmad, who lived from 1848 to 1885, the founder of the Mahdiya Sufi order, proclaimed himself Mahdi, the divinely guided one, in 1881. Thus, he went beyond most other revivalist reformers who claimed the right to interpret Islam and instead claim to be a divinely appointed and inspired representative of God. The Mahdi established an Islamic community, uniting his followers and justified waging holy war against other Muslims, in this case, Sudan's Ottoman Muslim rulers. He declared them infidels who disobeyed the command of his messenger and his prophet, ruled in a manner not in accord with what God had sent, altered the Sharia of our master, Muhammad, the messenger of God, and blasphemed against the faith of God. Sufism was reformed, alcohol, prostitution, gambling, and music were outlawed as foreign Ottoman Egyptian, un-Islamic practices that had corrupted society. From 1885 to 1889, after the Mahdist forces overcame Egyptian forces, an Islamic state was established in Khartoum. The Mahdi had supreme power as God's representative, and the Sharia was its law. Now, a transition takes place in the late 19th and 20th centuries. Here, Islamic modernism of the 19th and 20th centuries comes as a response both to the continued internal weaknesses, but also very much to the external political and religio-cultural threat of European colonialism. Like many parts of the world, Muslim societies fell victim to European imperialism. When Europe overpowered North Africa, the Middle East, South and Southeast Asia in the 19th century, reducing most Muslim societies to colonies, many Muslims experienced these defeats as a religious as well as political and cultural crisis. The Muslim world lost its political and cultural sovereignty to Christian Europe. symbolizing the decline of Muslim power and the apparent loss of divine favor and guidance. Colonialism brought European armies and Christian missionaries.